you, Sally. Standing here singing, and sometimes one forget, you know, the responsibility that they take. So thank you, Yolandi, Etienne, and the gang. We'll call you a gang. Man, God has really been talking to us about relationships. We all know it. God is wanting to restore relationships. He's wanting to restore us. And can I just say, the fact that God is starting with these small things, where He wants to bring change within our lives, and it's not in the miracles. When I was praying with two ladies in the previous session, I just told them, I really believe God is going to heal people relationally. We're going to sit around a table, we're going to eat, we're going to talk, and then people are going to get healed. And I said to the one lady, imagine somebody comes to visit you, you've prepared food, somebody that's broken, and you sit down there and you eat, and the person came in a wheelchair, and then the person left out of the wheelchair. But nobody, you know, just made a fuss about it. It's just we praised God, we ate together, and then that person leaves. Wouldn't that be awesome? Just relationally to connect with people and connect with their hearts beyond everything. Now, that for me is beautiful. I'm looking forward to that day. And that is why I know God is wanting to speak to us about covenant and restoring right relationships. He's really going into the depths of our hearts, and He's first changing us, as only He can do, so that when the people come, they can build. And I've noticed it now, you get abused people, you get wounded people, and then you get broken people. And sometimes they all play in the same team. You know, for example, if somebody just did something bad to me, they gossiped about me, you know. Say, for instance, I play for Manchester United. Now, let me say Liverpool, because that was my team of preference, you know, all these years, because I just like their slogan, you'll never walk alone. I just like it. It's so biblical. But anyway, if you play for Liverpool and somebody backstabbed me, and I would be pretty, you know, abused. I would feel pretty sad. I would feel pretty bad. But I have to play in the team. And at the same time, there's another brother. He broke his ankle, but nobody noticed that he broke his ankle. So he's also in the same team. And we're all playing together. And unfortunately, if we play against another team that doesn't have all those things happen to them, they're going to win us. Because now the guy with the broken ankle, he must run with us. And I, with my hiccups, I must run with the whole team. I must trust people. And sometimes the church is like that. We don't see that somebody has a broken ankle, and we're just so happy that they can tag along. Come on, you can do it. You can do it with your back into it. You know, come on, let's just go for this. And we don't see that people hurt. And I think there needs to come a beautiful healing in terms of our relationships before we can minister to other broken people when they come. And I started with a series back in South Africa around relationships, and I chose the easiest one first. Well, it's supposed to be the easiest one, I think. I can be wrong, but I'm starting with honor. The other one that I'm going to talk about when I get back to South Africa is love. We say love your brother, love him, man. What does it mean if we say honor your brother? What does it mean to honor? What does it mean to love? And I think I'll end off with something called covenant. Because I think that is the most difficult to understand for us in the 21st century. So, when we talk about honor, the easiest way we can see if relationships are broken, just check if the people honor each other wherever you go. Just check if there's a good, honorable, and honoring relationships. Wherever you go, just check that. If you see that happen, then you know, no. This is a good thing, and you can work with these people. And honor is one of the first places where you can see a relationship is broken. It's difficulty. So, we receive our value from God. The world says, no. You value how people look. You value how much they earn. You value them by what they do. Scripture says, no, everybody is valuable. That's what Scripture says. That's what made your move so beautiful, Edward. You see, if we talk about the pound and the rand, we know who comes second. But you will never come second. You understand what I'm trying to say? So Scripture says, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 27, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Now isn't that beautiful? And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. Just a short definition of honor. It is the recognition of another person's worth or value, regardless of their gender, social status, age, or cultural background. So Genesis talks about our intrinsic value. How much are we worth? Did you know that you have, everybody on earth has eternal significance? It cannot be taken away from you. The stock market can crash. You can lose a family member. You can lose all your money. You can lose a car. But you cannot lose your intrinsic value. Now, I wish I could talk with people about that. Because from there, we can see how God feels about us. But more than that, the body of Christ needs a healing in that area, in the area of our intrinsic value, because it determines how we look at one another. If you cannot see a person's intrinsic value, you will not treat him with honor and the proper respect. Now, it's a difficult one. First of all, you're lying there, then you're dust, you're clay. But then something miraculous happens. God blows part of his spirit into you, then you stand up, you start to live. Now, the spirit that's in you, that makes you valuable. And that is what we need to discover. And if you see that, if you have the ability to see that in a person, I can tell you, you'll always speak up to them. You know, there's not a lot of people in church circles that does extraordinary things. Would you agree with me? Not everybody's a David. Not everybody's a Moses. Isn't it so? Not everybody is a Peter or a Paul. I would say that at least 90% of the church doesn't do extraordinary things like that. But now how would we honor them? Not everybody is a Rick Warren. Not everybody is an Andy Stanley. Not everybody does those miraculous things. And yet, Christ expects of us, for the people that does the mundane, that we honor them. Because who's going to honor them? And so Scripture's full of the one another. And I love what I'm seeing God is doing amongst us, because we are starting to look very differently at each other. That is so precious. So it starts with intrinsic value. Honor starts with we recognizing people's intrinsic value. Extrinsic value would be, if I have to give Sally something that makes her more valuable, then that is extrinsic value. But I can't give Sally anything that will make her more valuable. There's really nothing that I can give you or you can give me that will make me more valuable. Seriously. That will only be an add-on. Oh, it's a nice tie. That's all that it is. It's a nice tie. And it's a brilliant gift. And yes, thank you. But that doesn't add to your value. The second thing that I'm just wanting to show you quickly. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. And favor is better than silver or gold. Another thing that we're going to have to look at in the last days is the value of somebody's character. In other words, what you have become. Now, I know when we say in our circles what you've become immediately, or when you talk to the world, when you talk to the world and you talk to them about what somebody has become, they usually say, no, he's become a doctor. No, she's become a teacher. No, he's become a social worker. No, he's only a pastor. That is not what Scripture's talking about. Scripture's talking about, no, she has become an honest woman. He's such a man of integrity. Wow, she's such a patient mother. Do you see the difference between being patient and being a pastor? Because not all pastors are patient. Not all pastors are honest. Do you see what we must start valuing in people? We must value what they become, but not what they do. We look at doing now. First, you recognize their intrinsic value, what God has placed inside of them, and then we recognize what they become. Now, I can remember when in my heydays, when I used to DJ, and at that stage I couldn't drive because I started DJing very early in my life. And I used to walk home with my records, you know, 12-inch vinyl, maxi singles, vinyl. My dad was the first DJ in Worcester. He used to play with a Tempest system, you know, where they had to play the whole album through and then they have to take it off and turn it around and play again before the days of mixing. So I got the trade from him. And when I walked, and I can remember one evening, I walked into a bunch of gangsters. Man. And as I walk in, they've got these pangas and knives. I don't know who they were looking for. That was about 4:30 in the morning. Now, if you see somebody with a knife that time of the day, I mean, it means there's trouble. And when they walk closer to me and I freeze, the one guy just said, leave him alone. It's Mr. Moses' son. My dad was a teacher. Now, my dad had a good name. You see, my dad's name saved me. That's when you understand what this man has become. Not what my dad did, what my dad became. So, the third thing that we have to look at, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. The Lord search the heart and tests the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. In other words, we need to value people's performance, and again, it's not about what you've done. It's about how you've grown. How many people are honored even if they fail? In God's frame of mind, you can fail and still be honored. Isn't it so? Isn't it so, like a guy like the Apostle Paul could be honored? A guy like Moses could be honored? I mean, Moses had a temper. It's his temper that kept him out of the promised land. We saw his temper back in Egypt, murdering. Then we saw his temper in the desert when he hit the rock. The temper was there. But God honored the man. You know, Apostle Paul, he must have been, I think, a very difficult person to work with. No, seriously. Paul, I think, was a real difficult man to work with. But I'll tell you, God honored him. Zealous as he was for the gospel, and he honored relationships. Let's talk about Peter. Always saying things out of sync because he wants to be heard. But God honored him. But why did God honor them? God honored their ability to grow even if they failed. So what God is saying, I search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways. Then it says, according to the fruit of his deeds. Even if you fail, you can still bear fruit. Now, isn't that assuring? Knowing that even if we fail, we still bear fruit. That is how God looks at us. And now we're going to get practical about honoring. And I'm going to go real fast now. Really, really fast. So, what does the Bible say about biblical honor? Let's just read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Honor everyone. it's a toughie. Then he talks about the church. You love the brotherhood. There's a reason Peter says it in this order. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood. Then he says something. You don't honor and love God, you fear God. You don't fear anybody else, you only fear God. And then you honor the emperor. And if you must understand the context, the emperor persecuted the Christians. That would be the equivalent of somebody telling people in Zimbabwe, honor Robert Mugabe, honor the man. It would be the equivalent of that. Very difficult to understand, but that is what Peter is implying here. And we're going to look now at what does honoring mean. Romans 15 verse 7 says, accept one another. Then just as Christ accepted in order to bring praise to God. And now we're going to have a conversation about honoring, because this I really think and feel is important. Because Pastor Fred talked this morning about the culture, about how the gospel is sometimes culturally informed. What I'm trying to do now, or what I am going to try to do, is to transcend culture and do it as somebody in the gospel would do it. So the first thing, if BC, would you come here please quickly? Quickly. Come BC. Yes. Busy. Am I saying it wrong? Right. Busy. Okay. If I can't help it. If she laughs, I must laugh. Doesn't she just have a contagious laugh? So contagious. But if she has to visit us for the first time, there's a few things that she must experience for her to feel honored. What I'm going to talk about now is the person visiting us for the first time. What I'm going to talk about now is the outcast, the person nobody notices. What would they like to experience to be honored? Okay, that's what we're going to do first. Thank you, BC. The first one is acceptance. If you can go there. Acceptance means receiving people with warmth, showing them that they are valued. It would go something like this. I'm so glad that you're part of this family. You say it with sincerity and with warmth of heart. The reason why I'm doing this is because we actually have to teach people this. Seriously. We have to teach people this. And especially the younger generation. I mean, going to spur a local restaurant, you're wanting to chat with them and they're all on their phones. They don't look you in the eye. You just feel so unwelcome. You know, my youngest daughter in this last month, let me tell you this. She started calling me pastor. And she started calling my wife pastor's wife. Now you can ask Yolandi on this whole trip. She would come, pastor, would you please come here? Can I have a cool drink? Is it okay, pastor's wife? That's how she literally would say it in Afrikaans. And so we had a conversation somewhere on this journey about Pastor Fred. She said, Dad, is Pastor Fred a pastor? I said, yes, he's a pastor. Now she asked me, is he a good pastor? I said, yes, he's very good. Because he's been in this journey with God very longer than me. And she looked at me and I told her, he's what you call a senior pastor. She looks at me, okay, Dad, then you are ordinary pastor. I said, yes, I'm an ordinary pastor. And so this thing puzzled me. And I prayed here on these grounds now the past few days. Okay, God. And then God showed me, Eva is actually figuring out hierarchy. Where does everybody fit in? It's an honorable thing. Do you know how many people can walk into a room? Now, my dad taught me this. Carlos, when you walk into somebody's house, see who's the head of the home and relate to him differently. It's just an honorable thing. You know, in the army, my sister, you want to go, you know, Air Force. but you'll see it. When somebody walks into the room, those guys, they can be lying on the bed, whatever, but if they see those things, I mean, they'll jump up. They'll immediately know, okay, who's who here? Are you with me? With the police, the same. Now, that's what my daughter's doing. That is what honor is about. And in church, sometimes it just disappears. I don't know why. It's the same in church. When you walk into a church, who's the man? Who's taking the lead? And then who's the worship leader? And how do I relate to her? And who leads the service? And how do I relate to them? But that is the thing about honor. So, when we honor people, we talk about acceptance. People, receiving people with warmth. Then the second thing that BC would like to know, is she being recognized? Recognition. Showing people that they have captured our attention as a unique individual and that we are interested in them, their achievements and their opinions. It would go something like this, wow, Jemima, what you've just said is so brilliant. Can you say it again? It would go something like that. She immediately knows that she's captured my attention. And that is what's so ugly about the cell phone generation. You never seem to get their attention. You know, it's like me sitting after a long day, supper, having dinner. And then one of my daughters, usually the oldest one, Mommy, Daddy's not here. He's eating, but he's not here. And then I know they don't feel that they've got my attention. The other one is affirmation. Strengthening a person's sense of self-worth by drawing attention to their strength and gifts. It would be something like, you know, Yolandi, I think you're so marvelous behind the piano. And I would like you to feel that about yourself. You're doing good. I've got your back. And if it was between me and Yolandi, I would have told her, you know what? You're ivory, I'm ebony. It's all right. Would you please open this for me? Okay. But that would be affirmation. Thanks. Affirmation. I'm just going to run through it quickly. I'll send the email because I'm actually sitting down and just talking this through with people. Now, I'm not talking about flattery because that's the other extreme. We don't want to go into flattering people, you know. Then appreciation. When we express the pleasure of being in someone's company. I think there's a spelling mistake there. Are we there yet? Appreciation, yes. Being in someone's company, yes. It's perfect. I enjoy seeing what you are doing and the things that you do. You know, it's like telling people, look here, when you make coffee and you just tell your stories. I just love being here. It's so good to be in your presence. Appreciation. Then approval. Expressing our agreement with and commendation of a person's performance, actions or opinions. And we say that we support them. In other words, when somebody gives a really good opinion, then we just say, look, yeah, I agree with what you're saying and I say the same. And then we tell people, look, yeah, what you've just said now, I'm going to tell other people. Can I quote you? Can I quote you? Admiration. I'm going really quickly. Expresses commendation and praise for someone's character. I like what you did and you know what? I cannot do it better than you. How's that? For just seeing somebody's intrinsic value. I cannot do this better than you. You're the only one. And then the last one, acknowledgement. Giving a person recognition, praise, or commendation in public or before people. Like we did with David and Sally. Just publicly honoring people. And this is important what I'm going to say now. We also honor people in their absence. Do you know what third party offense is? Liesl tells me what Etienne did to her, and then I'm offended on her behalf. So Etienne wants to buy me coffee, but I'm already offended with him. It's third party offense. We don't do it. There's an honorable thing that comes with not talking about people if we're not wanting the Holy Spirit to speak with us. Are you with me? So that is really important. So we honor. Now we're going to look at how do you do it. That is what the person experienced. Now just quickly how we do it. Mark chapter 1 verse 11 is still the best for me. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son whom I love. With you I'm well pleased. In other words, we must convey honor verbally. You must express it in simple and sincere words. Say it. Or if you can't say it, write something honorable about someone. Speak well of people in third parties. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 16, verse 1, I commend Phoebe to you, Sister Phoebe. I commend Timothy to you. He's always speaking well of people. And remember, with children, naturally and spiritually, affirm their intrinsic value. Because that is where it starts, when you speak honorably to your kids. When they see that you speak up to them and not down to them, it's their intrinsic value that we boost. So, we must honor people verbally. We must take time out, think it through, pray it through. And it's going to start mechanically for some of us. But we're going to grow in it. Because we're going to pray after this, we're going to pray that God heal our eyes so that we can see people's intrinsic value. Because if you see the thing of the Lord, you can talk about it. Are you with me? Then, honor, convey honor by your behavior. Acknowledge people in public and support them in public. Do you know what is one of the best ways just to convey honor with your actions? Ask for their advice. You know, you're an engineer. Would you please just help me and just help me with this? I need your advice. That's an honorable thing to do. You see what God's doing? It's a relational thing. It's a relational challenge. It's a relational challenge. The other ways, we must show you that we value their judgment. When somebody gives an opinion, value it. Even if you don't agree with it. Value their opinions. Have a genuine care and concern for their well-being. Last year, a guy that was really disobedient, he didn't listen to a lot of people. He drove a bucky without license. The thing broke, flipped him over, he died. I got the WhatsApp 2 o'clock the morning, 7 o'clock. At 5:30 the morning when I got up, I was preparing myself for church. And by 7, I saw the message and I started weeping. So now one of our congregants died in a car accident and I have to preach about choose life. And everybody knows the guy's lifestyle. And then my wife walked up to me and she took me by my arm and she said, are you up to this? Are you okay? It's such an honorable thing when we care. When somebody's in need. You know, that was a really beautiful, honorable thing. You can honor people by allowing to make them their own decisions. If you can go just to the other one. Allowing them to make mistakes. Allow people to make mistakes. Allow them to hold their views or opinions we do not hold and allow them to follow the dictates of their conscience. I know this is a lot of info, but I'm trusting God to help us here. We honor people by treating them as responsible people. In other words, we confront them when they react below capacity. If you know that they can do something better, you confront them about it and say, look here, this is not what God has called you to do. You can do better. That's an honorable thing to do. You know how many people get offended when they're honored in that way? You hear what I'm saying? When we talk about people doing things below their capacity. I mean, if you know that somebody can do better and you say nothing, that's not honorable. It's dishonoring. You with me? We honor by keep giving people gifts. Gifts, it's an honorable thing. We honor people by touching them, not inappropriate touching. Some of us must learn what is inappropriate touching, and some of us must learn to touch, because some of us are scared of touching. There's a balance there. The Apostle Paul says, greet each other with a holy kiss. In some cultures we would, in other cultures we can't, but what the Apostle Paul was saying is there's something honorable about greeting. Do you know how many people greet each other? We played a game in the one mall in the Netherlands. I told the guys, please tell me when you see somebody's laughing. Then we walk long stretches. Then I say, I'm waiting for an answer. Then I say, yeah, there's one. And then there's one. And then we walk another long stretch. Nobody's laughing. Nobody wants to greet. If you greet people, it's like, why are you looking? And Renee actually told us, look here, the Dutch, they actually see it as flattery when you're friendly. Everything must be transactional-like. This is the money. Thank you for taking me there. Thanks, man. That's it. It's transactional, you know. We don't smile when we do it. And then the big one, being present. In other words, when you stand in front of somebody and they can know that you're only there for them, nothing else makes sense to you but except that what they are telling you. So, three destructive attitudes that destroy honor. I'm just going to read Proverbs 18, verse 12, 29 to 23. Before his downfall, a man's heart is proud. But humility comes before honor. A person's pride will humble him, but a humble spirit will gain honor. You will never find honor where there's pride. Period. Where everybody thinks that they're the most important, there cannot be honor. And it works like this. The bigger the ego, the bigger the offense. Children don't stay offended long, hey? Because they don't have big egos. Adults stay offended very long. Because we have this big ego. And so Jesus says, look here, you must become like children. And I think some people interpreted we must become childish. And it doesn't work that way. Pride. The second one, just listen to this scripture. Like snow in summer and rain at harvest. Honor is inappropriate for a fool. So honor is inappropriate for a fool. You know, if it snows in the summer in London, then there must be something wrong, huh? And I mean, if you don't have a white Christmas here, then there must be something terribly wrong. But now that's what scripture says. A fool won't have honor. Foolishness. You know what a fool is? Somebody that knows what is the right thing to do, but he doesn't do it. That's foolishness. And with foolishness, there cannot be honor. And then the last one. Psalms 49 verse 20. A man with valuable possessions, but without understanding, is like the animals that perish. That scripture talks about somebody that places value on possessions and he doesn't have understanding on why has it. In other words, honor cannot be there where you have misplaced values. In other words, what Jemima does is more valuable than who she is. She's not valuable because she's playing the drums. She's valuable of what she brings with her. And sometimes we weigh up the wrong stuff. And all that I'm trusting God for this afternoon, just to start, is to bring a healing within our eyes, to bring about that we can see what are people's intrinsic value. Who they are. In other words, like God, we would spot the Moses, even though he doesn't have eloquence of speech. Would you have chosen Paul? Just between us. Come on, I won't tell anybody else. Would you have chosen Paul? I wouldn't have chosen Paul. Not what he did to the church. I mean, and who's the honorable guy? Barnabas. Barnabas is one of my favorite characters in the New Testament. Because if it wasn't for him, I don't know. He took Paul by the hand and he says, guys, don't be afraid. This man's cool. He's cool like that. We are homies. Don't be scared of him. God touched him. You see, Barnabas was that hospitable guy. You ever heard about Lydia? The lady that did washing? And then she opened up her home to the Apostle Paul. And from there, the gospel spread to the whole of Europe. A hospital lady. You ever heard about Cornelius? When God said, Peter, go to Cornelius, and Peter says, no, the first thing that God did, when God allowed Peter to see all the unclean animals, you know, the pork chops and the bacon, and then Peter says, God, I can't eat this. And then God says, look here, Peter, don't call anything unholy. And all that, what God was trying to tell Peter is, Peter, have respect for where I'm moving. So Peter goes to Cornelius. Cornelius opens his house. And then Peter says to Cornelius, look here, the fact that I am here, it actually makes me unholy. And then Cornelius tells him what God told Peter. And then Peter says, well, then I must preach the gospel. And this is the interesting thing when it comes to that honorable thing happening there. As Peter preaches the gospel, before he even makes an altar call, the whole family starts speaking in tongues. He's still busy with his sermon. In the name of Jesus, Basandarakara, he stands there. Okay. And God did it on purpose with Peter just to show him, it's not your sermon. But again, it was an honorable thing. And then for me, obviously, man, Jesus on the cross. And before he went to the cross, I mean, the most honorable words for me, look here, I will lay down my life for my friends. Greater love will nobody have than this, than to lay down their life. Now those words are so, so honorable. So honoring. And then on the cross he says, it's finished. What is finished? This thing that I'm doing for you. And then Romans sheds light on it. Romans says, he did it while we were still sinners. In other words, he saw our potential and he honored us with his presence, with his words, and his life. He laid down his life. And I'm trusting God that we would see. Because if we don't see, we will be like Samuel. It must be him, God. Samuel makes 6 mistakes. Only by the 7th time he sees the right one. Okay, it's actually David. You see, Samuel needed a healing in his eyes. Because he judged according to the flesh and not according to Spirit, seeing David's intrinsic value. So let me pray, and then we're gonna have supper at six. Should I pray for the food also? Yes, I'll do that. I'll do that. Let's pray. Father, we need a healing in our eyes to see people's intrinsic value. We need to see beneath the surface, the depths of the heart and the depths of the spirit. We need to see what you've placed in people. We need to see their maturity. And God, we need to see what they've become. We need to see stuff like, oh, they're becoming people of integrity. Oh, they're becoming honest people. Those are the stuff that we need to see. And so God, I thank you that you're beginning to unveil us so that we can see one another, that we can actually recognize one another, accept one another, affirm one another, honor one another. Unveil us, God. Teach us how to pray for one another. Show us the value that you place on people, God. Thank you, Lord, that you're starting with us. It's such a privilege. And God, this is actually an exciting journey. If we can start seeing the best things in the worst of people through our eyes. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are going to help us, that you're going to do it by the power of your Spirit, God. Father, as we go now into again of time of fellowship and eating, we thank you wholeheartedly for the time that we can spend together around a table where we can talk as equals. We thank you and we honor you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
And speaking of tables, I know it's hard, especially if you're feeding children. And if you have a large family, you take up the whole table. But choose where you sit and choose to honor. So even someone you don't know very well, maybe I should say especially someone you don't know very well, just let's have an honorable meal and then continue to practice what Carlos has preached. And even before we start moving, just look around at each other and just clock someone. Even if they don't, you don't have to register, but just in your mind, I'm going to honour them before this weekend is out. Neil, you're leaving soon, are you? Who's leaving tonight? Okay, a few people get to him before he leaves. But I'm just saying, and then it's not just something we do when we're all feeling good and it's a bank holiday and we don't have to work tomorrow, but it's something that we continue to do. So when someone new walks in, they are bowled over by the honour we give them. So look, if there's someone here you don't know, go for that person. Carlos, thank you. Thank you. We honour you.